learning the Ujjayi breath, sometimes called the victory breath, warrior breath. And it is a very valuable breath practice that is used a lot in the yogic world. Ujjayi, literally from Ud, meaning the upward movement, and Jai is a victory. So whenever you've had a little victory, a little win, and you feel, aha, that upward energy, that's the most literal translation of Ujjayi, that upward sense of energy when we feel elevated, we feel a victorious moment. And this is a practice that once you're familiar and comfortable with it, you can apply in many circumstances to gain great benefit. It's a practice that has been used by yogis from time immemorial. It's being used as a way to support meditation practices, a way to settle the system before meditation. It's been used as a healing practice with a healing focus from an Ayurvedic viewpoint. And a warrior in ancient times used this practice as a way of focusing and preparing themselves for battle and indeed on the battlefield. So it has a lot of implications for people who want to be very present, relaxed, focused and energized in high performance. Most scholars these days consider the martial arts originated in southern India, and like so much of this wisdom, travelled north to North Asia and adapted in the cultures there. A famous monk from South India called Bodhidharma is considered to have taken the ancient Indian martial arts to China and it adapted in the Shaolin temple that he arrived at. Apparently he saw that the monks in China really needed to develop their bodies more and their mind-body connection, and so that's how he started teaching this. So this particular breath practice has been used in many environments, in many contexts, and is really beneficial. From the yogic viewpoint, what we're doing when we practice this is we're enlivening the life force, the prana, and developing the ability to concentrate a little more. From a medical model, when we're breathing in this way, we can understand that the abdomen is very engaged in the breathing process. The breath, of course, then, as soon as there's abdominal breathing, the vagus nerve, which runs up near the heart, is influenced when we practice in this way, and it has an effect of settling the heart rate. Also, when we're breathing through the upper lobes, when we're breathing through the nostrils in this practice, we're stimulating receptors in the brain that are associated with alertness. I don't know if anyone's ever seen others given smelling salts. So in the wrestling, weightlifting, boxing world, people are often given smelling salts to help arouse them if they've got a knock or even just before their performance. I've seen weightlifters before they go and lift weights, the train and wave some smelling salts under their nose just to give them that extra alertness. I've also seen people who've been knocked unconscious giving smelling salts to try and arouse them, and it was very popular particularly in the 19th century, in the earliest 20th century, with swooning women, they were often given smelling salts. So what's being stimulated with those smelling salts are these receptors in the brain that are associated with alertness. And when you breathe in this way, with the Ujjayi breath, the victory breath, we're activating those same receptors. So it brings alertness, We can understand it brings relaxation as the heart rate settles down. From the yogic viewpoint, what we're doing is we're cultivating focus, we're more present-centered, more focused, more alertness, more strength and vitality. And in the same way it is for most of us in the world today, we need what the warriors on the battlefield once needed. We need to be able to relax rather than get stressed out. We need to be able to relax, so we need to be able to settle the system. We need to be able to focus on what we want to focus on productively, and we need more energy, more vitality, more strength. So these are the qualities that develop with this Ujjayi practice. So let's see if we can go through the steps of learning it. There's different ways we can learn it. I'll take you through some exercises I found very helpful in helping people learn how to do Ujjayi breath. Most of us have done this as kids. We've goofed around as kids and we've played with it. But most adults can't do it. And when we can't do it consciously, what we're doing is we're learning to control the glottis at the back of the throat. Most adults can't consciously control that, but it's very easy to learn how to control it. So we're going to go through some exercises to get the glottis in the right position. And once the glottis is in the right position, you'll get the hang of it. The sound you hear as I demonstrate Ujjayi breath is the sound that's created as I slightly contract the glottis, and what happens is the air accelerates through down into the lower lobes, because if it's moving with greater velocity, it'll move more towards the lower lobes. Yeah? So let's just listen to the Ujjayi or warrior or victory breath, and then we'll go through the exercises to do it. So just listen as I breathe for a minute or two with the Ujjayi breath. Can you hear that sound? So people describe it, sound like the wind in the trees. Teaching a young teenage guy once, he said it sounds like a kettle boiling. What does it sound like to you? The air conditioning unit. So this practice we can use in a variety of ways. We can use it to shift our state. Anytime you feel a bit impatient, unsettled, frustrated, you could activate Ujjayi breath to shift your state. Anytime you feel flat in the mid-afternoon, you just need energy, you could activate Ujjayi. Rather than going for a coffee, you could go for Ujjayi breath, go for the prana. In performance, I've taught this to people who are professional athletes and performers before they perform, just to really help them focus and stay very present. So there's no shortage of opportunity to practice it. And in the practice of asanas, it's very helpful to learn Ujjayi breath so that you can use it during asana. You can learn to do this in any movement, running. Not sprinting, but running, generally running, jogging, running, in a lot of athletic activity, and it will enhance the body's efficiency. You definitely find that when you do asana, it not only energizes and you get all the benefits of Ujjayi breath that we've described, centering, focus, energy, but also it becomes a barometer of what's happening, because you can hear the sound of the breath, and if it's not flowing as easily, if it's labored, then of course you'll hear it immediately and you can adjust how you're moving. So it's very helpful in asana. So let's go through a couple of exercises to see if we can learn it, and then we'll practice it. So the first exercise we're going to go through is to imagine that you want to clean, you want to fog up your glasses to clean them, your sunglasses or your glasses. You're going to fog them up. So you take an easy in-breath, and as you exhale, you fog them up. So let's just try that. Lift, imagine you've got the glasses in front of you, you want to fog them up. So easy full in-breath. Do that a couple of times. So you're blowing on your glasses, the mouth open, the breath is flowing out through the mouth, and when you make that aspirated sound, the glottis at the back of your throat is contracting. Excellent. Now what we're going to do is we're going to do another exercise. We're going to express the word whisper in this way. Nice easy in-breath. Whisper. Continue. Easy in-breath, and then repeat the word on the out-breath. And as you repeat it, see if you can really create that aspirated sound. Whisper. As soon as you're getting that aspirated sound, you're learning to control the glottis. So we're going to continue with these whisper sounds. Easy full in-breath. On the exhalation, make the whisper sound. We'll close the eyes, bring the awareness fully to the breath. Whisper. Whisper. Continue in this way. Once you feel you've got the hang of making that sound, the aspirated sound on the out-breath, a third of the way through the exhalation, we're going to close the lips, and without changing the breathing apparatus, we're going to continue the exhalation through the nostrils in this way. Continue in that way. A third of the way through the exhalation, close the lips, complete the out-breath through the nostrils. And see if you can make that light, aspirated sound through the nostrils. Now, we don't have to, we definitely don't want to strain to do this. We can create either a light sound or a strong sound. In different contexts, both will be appropriate. So, practice doesn't require making a loud sound. Sometimes we do it very softly. Someone wouldn't hear it. The skill is controlling the glottis and controlling the flow of the breath. Once you feel you've got this happening through the nostrils, the aspiration through the nostrils, the next step is, without changing anything at all, in a very easy, relaxed way, gently start inhaling through the nostrils and see if you can make the sound as you inhale through the nostrils. Most of us will learn to make the sound through the nostrils on the out-breath first before we develop the skill of making it on the in-breath. And sometimes we need to practice quite a lot. So this is just our first taste of it. So just play with it, see how you go. Once you've got the sense of the sound coming through the nostrils at the end of the whisper, then see if you can start inhaling without changing anything, and then just continue exhaling and inhaling through the nostrils, making that very light sound. And we want to see if we can cultivate smooth, long, even breaths in and out. No straining. Some people find it helps them to think that they're just breathing directly in through the throat. We're just breathing with conscious awareness, smooth, long, even breaths. And once you get the mechanic working, it's quite natural that the intention arises as you inhale, the feeling intention, you're drawing in that life-giving energy, prana, vitality, strength, energy. As you're exhaling, you're moving it through the body, anywhere you want to move it through, and you're freeing, releasing. Just continue breathing in this way, enlivening the life force on the in-breath, releasing on the out-breath. There's so much prana within that is enlivened when we draw the prana in on the in-breath, and there's so much opportunity to release with each out-breath. Continue in this way for another minute. And then just when you're ready, allow the breath to return to its normal state. And just observe how you're feeling in body and mind. Just observe. Some of you might be feeling more freshness, aliveness, alertness. There could be new sensations in the throat because it's a new experience for some of us, in the head. Many of you will feel more focused, calmer, more presence-centered. Just observe. And remember, this practice can be applied in so many contexts. Anytime you need to shift your state of mind, if you're unsettled, if you're contracting, so again, frustrated, impatient, anxious, anytime you really need to focus, regather your focus, so pre-performance, perhaps you feel unsure, uncertain going into a meeting, once you've developed the skill, even walking towards the meeting, you can just focus on the breath in this way, using the out-breath more to release, the in-breath to gather strength and vitality and focus. So many applications of this. We use it in meditation practices. It's very helpful often with compassion practices, good as a preparation before you go into other meditations. People will often use it as a healing practice, to support a healing meditation. Many applications. We can use it to develop our sporting efficiency. You can learn to run and do a jai breath. Any activity that you need these qualities of to be more settled, more focused, more present and more energized, then this is an option. Enjoy your practice of it. Namaste.